You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 163. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who finally put on a shirt, John Brownstone.
And shorts, no pants.
Clothes.
I finally got shorts on, long pants.
I was making the point that you're not naked anymore, but sure, I'm very excited that you're wearing shorts today.
Well, I wouldn't want to get our YouTube channel banned.
Silly, weird, true. Can I do the intro now?
Go right ahead.
We've scared off everybody who's new. This week, we're looking back at our early days of BDSM and the things we believed, thought, and some of the things we figured out during those times. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, LovingDS, the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes. A big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon, as always, yes, including some new peeps that have joined us. And just to let you know, this week's episode was actually suggested by a kinky patron on Patreon as one of their perks. So yay. We see y'all. We love you. And thank you. Thank you. If you'd like to access more content from us and more access to us and this thing we're doing, you can become one of our kinky patrons for as little as $1 per month. And all of your support helps us do more. Make more podcasts, make more Weapons of Mass Destruction, write more blog posts, more. And we appreciate it if you can join us.
There you go.
So this week's topic is straight from one of our kinky patrons on Patreon. Thank you, CDC, for suggesting it. She, I'm assuming. They, CDC, gave us a whole bunch of questions, and they all have a central theme, and it's about what you thought and felt, what we thought and felt in the early days of learning about BDSM, learning who we were as kinksters. Mm-hmm. We did not go through this together. You have your own entire experience before
pretty
knowing
much,
I existed on the planet. I started this process before I met you, but I have learned a lot since we've been together. Yes, we have. We learned a lot about ourselves and each other and BDSM and DS in general, like just all kinds of stuff. And so we are going to take CDC's questions and turn them into an entire episode this week. And we're going to go through the questions and we're each going to sort of talk about our own perspectives. I honestly don't know what this will turn into, but we're going to do it. But that is something that our
hopefully something interesting.
Yes. But this is something that we ask our kinky patrons to do. One of the perks of being a kinky patron on Patreon at the $5 and up level is that we go to them and say, hey, give us topic suggestions. Mm-hmm. And while anybody anywhere can suggest a topic, top preference is going to be given to patrons because that's a perk of being a patron. So just a little plug for our Patreon, patreon.com/KaylaLords, link below. Okay, so let's get into it.
Right.
And I'll ask, and you go first, because y'all know I can suck up all of the bandwidth around here. So I will ask a question. You answer.
Hashtag rambling submissive.
Right. You start, and then I'll just
fill in the blanks.
Well, because we're going to talk about your perspective and my perspective, and we had completely different journeys.
True.
We started at different points in life. We had different experiences. So, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let you go first. You actually have time to talk. That's my whole point.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, first question.
Okay.
What is something you wish you would have known before beginning BDSM and or a DS relationship?
I think I would have to say that it's not as scary as I originally thought it was.
I'm glad you figured that out. And I think that is a common thing that people think.
I mean, you know, my first introduction to DS is probably about the way most people's is, finding it online, seeing images, you know, the dark dungeon and chains and leather and growling dominance and cowering submissives.
So did that turn you on and then kind of scare you, or did it all make you go, what the hell?
It kind of all went together. I found it exciting. And it turned me on, but at the same time, I found it to be kind of intimidating.
Oh, sure. Did you find it intimidating? Oh, see, I've taken over your question, CDC, because now we're turning this into an interview. Did you find it intimidating because you talked about how you saw how other people expressed their dominance and it didn't match with you.
Mm-hmm.
Were you intimidated because you went, I don't think I want to do that, or I don't think I can do that, or was it something else left over from...
I think it was because I thought, you know... I like it, but I don't know if it's me.
Sure.
All right. And it kind of left me with a feeling of, you know, if that's how it is, I like it, but I don't know if I could live up to that.
Gotcha. So how long since your first, one of the things you wish you would have known is that it wasn't scary. How long did it take for you to realize that it was not scary?
It took me... From that point, probably a good year or more. And what changed it all was when I went to my first munch.
That usually does.
All right.
That usually does change
and,
everything.
And, you know, I walked in there. I did not know what to expect, what kind of people I was going to meet. And I walked in there and I asked at the front, you know, to there for the group that meets in the back.
Yeah, you got to kind of speak in code depending on where your munch is.
And I was pointed in the direction, and I was quite pleasantly surprised to see people sitting in there that dressed and acted no differently than I did.
Right, like you'd just gone into a restaurant to have lunch with people.
Yes,
that's usually it. Is there anything else that you wish you would have known? At the beginning? How about the beginning of a DS relationship?
That's a good one. Things I wish I would have known at the beginning of a DS relationship.
It doesn't even have to be our relationship.
Yeah,
you were doing DS before you knew I existed.
That's true. I wish I had known about things like safe, sane, consensual, rack. What's a newer one now? Prick.
I always find it funny to get to say prick. Yeah. Personal responsibility, informed consensual kink. I think
that sounds,
we follow safe, sane, and consensual. So
right.
I know of all of those others cause we need to know of them, but
sure.
They don't roll off my tongue in the same way.
I wish I had known about those aspects before getting into a relationship. In the beginning I had a couple online relationships, but even then they kind of had their issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really think for many of us, not everybody, but for many of us, our very first DS sort of trials online or in person, those tend to be, every once in a while somebody will find like their perfect match right out the gate, but the rest of us are like, oh, that didn't go the way I thought that would go.
Yeah, it was kind of train wreckish for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think that's because there was so much you still did not know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because a lot of the, at that time, bulletin board rooms, chat rooms, wasn't so much the forums and things we have now. And everybody, you know, a lot of the people in there are very brash, very...
Oh, sure.
You know.
I'm sure there was a lot of chest thumping.
Oh, yeah.
In those places.
I am dominant. I have entered the room. Kneel and let me collar you.
Gross. Get the fuck away from me.
So, you know, yeah, even though it was for me in the beginning, when I dipped my toes in, it was a lot of online, you know. There were things like that I wish I had known at that point.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'm going to go.
Okay.
Recap of the question. What do I wish I had known before beginning BDSM and or DS relationships? So you have to understand how innocent I was. I watched Secretary and didn't know it was about BDSM the first time. So, you know, I was innocent.
Goodness.
So for me, I always think the thing that I wish I would have known before sort of discovering BDSM, like Columbus discovered a land filled with people who are already living there, right? Like it existed. I did not discover it, but discovering it for myself, part of it is I wish that I had known about it earlier. I wish I had known it was a legitimate thing that wasn't the stereotype, tropey, weird things you might see in mainstream vanilla. It's not a first memory of BDSM, but it's one of the first times it was like in my head as, oh, that's a thing, was some vanilla commercial where it was a woman with a whip forcing her husband to do stuff. And I went, huh, okay, that's what, that's in that moment, that's what BDSM was to me, which is so not what BDSM is.
Right.
So when I first sort of found out it was a thing, I was like, God, I wish I had known this longer. I wish I had found out about this years ago. I wish that I had not spent the past however many years not even understanding it was a thing. For DS relationships, because you were not my first DS relationship, but the thing that I look back now after having been with you for so long that I wish I had known when you and I first got in together and when I got together with my first dominant was that DS relationships are not stagnant. You don't go in with these titles, these ways, these methods, these rules, these whatever, protocols, whatever you decide for yourself, and that they stay that way. And it sort of blew my mind when things started to shift and change, because I thought you figure out what it is you want, you set the rules, you set your titles if you're going to use them at all, and then that's just what you do, and you just do it. And of course, that's a, I think, a very innocent way of looking at things. I think we all know if we think about them that anything we do changes and morphs over time. Nothing stays the same.
It's fluid.
It's, and it has to be fluid. Yeah. I mean, every other part of our life is fluid. This is just like the rest of our life. So that was probably the, it was a, when I figured it out, it was a comforting thing to know that things could change. But I still remember the first time I wanted things to change for you and I, it was hard because I thought, oh, am I letting him down if I tell him I need something different? It, you know, am I not being the submissive I said I was? Or, you know, what does this mean that I need things to change? And I can still think back and go, wow, this, I should have known. It's sort of like BDSM in general. I should have freaking known. But of course I didn't know, because you can't know until you sort of immerse yourself in it.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that a lot of, about DS specifically, I think a lot of angst would have like just died the hell down if I had realized that, no, it's supposed to change and it's supposed to morph. And the things you, that worked for you 6 months ago won't necessarily work now. And, you know, and I think back, we've talked about this 162 times prior, but we've talked about how we have changed and how what is happening in our life will dictate how we express our DS selves. And I actively think back to things we used to do a year, 2 years, 3 or 4 years ago. And sometimes I think, oh, I wouldn't mind doing some of that again. And then sometimes I think, oh, no, that wouldn't fit me now. I don't want to necessarily go back to those times. I want to have those memories and be glad for those memories, but we've moved on. We've grown. So it had to change. And now I want to find out what we're going to do in the future. I don't want to try and go back to the past.
Gotcha.
But in the early days, it never even occurred to me. Like, it was shocking the first time.
Now,
I realized.
Here's a question to the question.
Okay.
How did sub-frenzy play a part? Would having understood what sub-frenzy was have helped you?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I am great at denial, frankly. I can look at a thing and go, that's not that thing. I'm really good at denial.
Yeah, it's a river.
So I'm pretty sure that if I had known sub-frenzy even existed before I went into it, I would have convinced myself.
Nah, not me.
That's not happening to me. That happens to other people. I think most of us can see sub-frenzy either once we're through most of it and we look back on current actions, we go, oh. Or after the fact. So, you know, maybe if I had been a more educated, mature, something submissive, somebody with more experience, to go, if I went through sub-frenzy a second time, I think I would catch myself and realize what was happening and adjust whatever my expectations were, because I would understand what was happening. But from everybody I've ever talked to, that first time of sub-frenzy, the vast majority of us, it's always looking back that we go, oh, that's what happened. Okay, now that makes sense. I mean, I've talked to a few people who recognize it, but they've been going through it for months, and then they go, oh, that's what I'm doing now? Okay, but it's not that first day. Part of it is because sub-frenzy, for me at least, was such a euphoria of, oh, this is amazing. I want to do this. I want to do all of the things. I'm going to do all of the things. And it's such a good, positive feeling at first.
Right.
For, I think, many of us. that you can't imagine that there's anything wrong with it, or that it's leading you down a path of danger and of, you know, maybe thinking things that aren't necessarily true or denying things about yourself because you want to jump into whatever this is and sort of capture that good feeling.
Gotcha.
So subfrenzy, I'm sure, played a big role in what I was paying attention to and how I saw DS at first, but I don't think I could have caught myself and like stopped that. I think for me, at least, that was part of the process. I had to go through that in order to be able to look back and go, oh, I see now. So that's me. Next question.
Okay.
What is something that shocked you, and if there was anything, or worried you about BDSM or a DS relationship after you got into it?
I would have to say that one of the things that shocked me, which I kind of touched on a little bit before, when I first started meeting people in the lifestyle. Like I said, I had this image of people, you know, submissives in collars and chains and, you know, glowering dominance.
And, oh, yeah, those dark brooding stares.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. You know,
I can't do a dark brooding
stare. And you know, the evil sadisticness that abounded in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody's walking around angry and devious and plotting. Yeah. Right.
So,
that actually sounds like a turn.
So when
on,
when I started meeting people in the lifestyle and, you know, realizing that yes, this was a part of their of who they are, but as I started meeting people and becoming friends with people, it's like they're no different than anybody else.
Right. There's a layer of whatever normal is supposed to be to all of us. It's just a part of who we are, but very few of us run outside in full gear and go to the grocery store that way.
Yeah. So, you know, while it was nice to begin to build a community of people that understood and liked the same things that I did, that, you know, on the other hand, you could sit there and talk about what was on TV the other night.
Yes.
And, you know, what's a good restaurant to eat at?
Yeah, work stress, kids. Was it last month's munch? I can't remember, but I remember a recent munch. We all sat around the table, those of us who have children at any age. I think I'm the one with the youngest kids at our specific munch. And we all commiserated on raising children. And that's what, those of us who have children, that's what we were talking about for easily 45 minutes.
Yes.
Because that, we have that in common. You know, it's not just, oh, you're submissive, I'm submissive. We have that in common. That's a nice place to start sometimes, but we have all kinds of other things in common. Some things we don't always have in common are politics. Guess what we don't talk about at the munch?
we're not talking politics at the munch.
It's not happening. Because I want to still like people after I've sat down and had lunch with them. Thank you. Anything else?
I think that's probably about the biggest thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So shocked and or worried. But I'm going to go with both. So the thing that shocked me, I think, is along the same lines of just how normal it feels, like the people that you interact with, but also, and I feel bad that this would have ever shocked me at all. And I don't think it was like a shock and awe, like, oh my gosh, but more like a, oh, okay, was just how much BDSM is a facet of so many different people's lives and so many people's lives. So it's very easy to think you're the only one if your only experience with it in like your hometown or your local area is you and whatever you're finding online, right? I mean, I do always feel like everybody I know must live in the UK. I know that's not true. I know a lot of people who live in my own freaking area. Thank you very much. But it can feel that way when you're online because you are meeting people from all around, which is a great thing. And then you forget that, oh, wait, maybe that means nobody lives here.
Kind of like that meme, you know, I just met somebody with all the same kinks that I have and like the same things and they're 2,000 miles away.
Right, and it does feel that way. And for me, it was that, and I think that's a very common thing to think you're the only one in your town. You are never the only one in your town. unless your town is of like three people, you're never the only one. But also just the breadth of humanity. Like every single type of person you can imagine on the planet in that, whatever that cross section of humanity is, there are kinky mm-hmm. people there. And they come in every shape and every size and every color and every gender and every,
oh, yeah.
every category you can think of. It's still, and I, this is so wrong. I'm yeah. admitting a thing that is not, it's just, it's wrong of me because I know people for a fact, like I've met and hugged and, oh, I love you. And yeah, yeah. And we're both kinky. And I still get surprised when I meet a kinky person who is, whose politics are the exact opposite of mine. And I'm going to leave it right there. Yeah. And I don't know why. I do not know why.
Oh, gosh.
I do get a little annoyed, but also still surprised when mm. I meet a judgmental kinky person. Because I think, how can you be judgmental? You're kinky. You could,
yeah.
theoretically, depending on your life, you could lose your job, your kids, like all kinds of stuff just for being kinky or being mm-hmm. known to be kinky. Like, who are you judging? But we all judge. So that's a humanity thing. The thing that worried me
mm-hmm.
Was I had a brief moment. I don't talk about it much because I always sort of talk more broadly about how good I felt to figure out I was submissive. I had a brief moment, very, very short lived, where I was like, what does this mean about me? What does this say about me? But I was so happy to discover that submission was a thing and that was me, that like went out the window almost immediately. The thing that worried me in DS relationships was back to that whole thing a few minutes ago about how, oh, nothing should ever change. You decided and you just stay that way, right? The moment I didn't feel just sublimely submissive. Oh, can I take off all my clothes and kneel on the ground? Like the moment like an annoyance intruded or I was like, what is he talking about that he wants? What does this mean? And I had this not very submissive thought about a dominant partner. Like you get annoyed. You get like, I don't want those scared the hell out of me because that was the moment I would go, am I really submissive? Like I truly sort of thought I was supposed to have submissive thoughts, whatever that means, all the time.
24/7.
Or at least every time I was interacting with a partner. If I was, you know, if my dominant was speaking to me, I should clearly be thinking submissively about how wonderful they are and how I would do anything that they would like to tell me to do without question, without fail, and without going, really? I'm really glad I got over that. I'm pretty sure you'd like me to go back to that thinking. And I did. It worried me. But part of it was because understanding myself as a submissive was so new that it was fragile, that it was hard to believe that this thing was real, that that wasn't just making something crazy up in my head, or that I was not a deviant. Like I sort of worried people might think I am a deviant, but I'm a good kind of deviant, so it's okay. So I wasn't confident in myself. So anytime something sort of upset my internal image of what submission means to me, I don't think I ever sort of looked outwardly and thought other people should be submissive like me. I really did. I think I internalized most of that. But anytime I did not add up to that and I did something different, I did worry in the beginning. I was like, uh-oh, maybe I'm not really submissive. Maybe I'm making all this up. No, it's not making it all up. I am. I'm most definitely submissive. But it was my thinking about what submissive means was skewed. It was that we talk about in all kinds of other episodes, sort of that airbrushed erotica view of what it means to be submissive.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, I kind of felt, back in the early days of the bulletin boards and mm-hmm. those things, because of the way a lot of the big D's came across in those rooms, I thought, oh no, I can't be, I'm not dominant. How can I be dominant? I am not like this. That's not who I am,
right,
per se. And it was, because eventually I learned over time, it's not about barking orders. It's not about being arrogant. It's about being a leader. More so than anything.
Sure.
So that was something that had me a little worried and kind of, I like this, but how do I fit in?
And, you and I both hear that from a lot of dominants.
Yeah.
And submissives who look at their partner who's trying to be dominant and they're like, are they really dominant? And we've talked about this in past episodes where it's like, well, are they trying to fit into what they think dominance is or what dominance actually is for them? And that's...
Right.
that's a lot to do with it. And I think that is very common with new kinksters, because you, mm-hmm. you know, you were saying you were talking to somebody online who had said that there are so many online resources now, it's hard to figure out who to follow, who you can trust, right. whatever. And in today's online world, I would imagine that would be really, really difficult, because what's going to happen is, one, how do you choose? Two, what if you choose wrong and you're getting all kinds of crappy advice and people are trying to make you be something that you're not and telling you that's the only way to be dominant or submissive or to be kinky?
Yeah.
I would say for anybody who finds themselves in that quandary, if you come across a resource that says, here's how it works for us, here's how it works for one perspective, also be yourself, that is the kind of advice you want to follow. If somebody's trying to pigeonhole you and say you have to be this one way, reject, move on to the next resource in general. Just throwing that in. Okay, we'll go on to the next question.
Okay.
What was the key event or idea, the thing, mm-hmm. that helped you understand that BDSM was a thing for you and that you wanted to actively pursue?
Wow, that's...
You got to go back, like, what, 15, 20 years for this?
Longer, maybe.
I know some stories you've told me of kinky things you used to try and do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't tell those stories. They're not my stories to tell.
But no.
But I know stories.
Yes, you do. And you love me anyway.
Oh, I love the stories. So I'm like, oh, to have been a fly on the wall of that room. Or not room, mm-hmm. area.
Yeah. I think in the beginning for me, it predated internet and even cell phones.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know some of your stories. Yeah, it did.
Yeah. And I knew I liked kinky things back then already, but I had no outlet for it, no resources to understand, and I felt like I was not right. And it in part was reason for a breakup at that time, and I just kind of, I hid all those feelings. Mm-hmm. I buried them away. And it was many years later when I rediscovered it, and it was like something just kind of...
Like a flip switching?
Like it pinged with me. Mm. Okay. And it just kind of locked in the back of my head and just kind of stayed there. And probably about that time, I started writing some short story eroticas on some journal sites.
I love you. You're so awesome.
And I had people just out of the blue, and I didn't really think I was writing anything at that time that was considered BDSM-ish or, you know, lifestyle-ish, but I would get messages from people on these sites. Are you a dominant? Are you in the BDSM lifestyle?
Ooh, and you were like, what?
Well, yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? And it just kind of went from there, and it was, you know, as I kept discovering more and more, you know, I was looking back at my younger days, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, okay.
I make so much more sense now.
Everything is starting to make sense. So in that aspect, things started coming together for me, mm-hmm. you know, aspects of my personality.
Mm, yep.
All right. And that's how I kind of evolved into it. And I was like, maybe this is something I need to truly pursue.
And here you are today.
And now here I am today. Look where I ended up.
For the record, if you are brand new and you're like, I can't imagine where this is going to take me. From your first sort of kinky fuckery without having language for what it was. You were like what, in your 20s?
Yeah, I was 21.
Okay, so 30, 5+ years later. Do you see the transition? I mean, you can do all kinds of things. Okay, so I will answer this one about the key event or idea that helped me understand that BDSM was a thing for me and that I wanted to actively pursue. I will not lie, that first time I saw the movie Secretary, I went, what just happened? Mm. The second time I watched it, I knew what the fuck was happening, and I was like even more turned on. and there is, if you go online and look, there is rightful criticism of Secretary that it should not be like the paint-by-numbers version of BDSM for anybody. It is not necessarily the best example, but that shit was hot to me. And I was like, I'd like to be a secretary. But for me, it was actually when I became a sex blogger. So I started blogging about my life, my sex life, as Kayla Lourdes in 2012. And I'd been reading sex blogs up to that point under a blog I have under my legal name, but I would never comment on anything because I was terrified that somehow the comment would lead back to something and somebody would find out, right? And I didn't want it under my name. So I was reading and I was lurking, but I was not commenting. But I was like, wait, you can blog about your sex life on the internet? Like, I was so innocent. It was 2012. Of course, I could have been doing it for 10 years prior. I just didn't know. So I went, oh, I'm going to do this. And I came up with the name Kayla Lourdes, which is a bastardization of my real name. And so it kept it kind of close. And I actually started writing my sexual fantasies and my adventures in, finally, at the age of 32, masturbating and actually having orgasms. I've been so sexually repressed for so long. and that's where it started. But the way at that time that the WordPress sex blogging community was, it was very much a community. We were all on WordPress.com. We were all doing free websites. That's not a good idea if you want to do this long term. I'm self-hosted now. But there was access to other people who were writing about these things. And people were writing about all kinds of things. And I do not remember exactly when in this process this happened, but I started coming across blogs that were writing about DS. They were writing about BDSM. And there's one that they stopped writing in 5 or 6 years ago, but they've left it up. They haven't deleted it. And I'm grateful to them for that. It was a married couple where they were actually bedroom only DS. But that DS was, I was reading it going, oh my God, I want that. At the same time, I discovered this kinky side of Tumblr, which is why it's so sad that it's gone now. And I was looking at these images and I wasn't understanding my own reaction to them, but I knew I was reacting. And then I had been so innocent prior to 2012, because then I went, oh, literotica is a thing? Okay.
Yeah.
And I read some pretty dark, taboo BDSM stuff that I would never want to happen to me in real life. I'd be like, get the fuck away from me if somebody suggested it. But it was a 4-part series, thousands of words. And I read every word. And I remember sitting, I always did this at night after my kids went to bed. It was right after I had split from my first husband. There were times it was so hot, I had to masturbate in my kitchen chair at the kitchen table where I was reading and blogging and stuff, because I was like, holy shit. And then I had these moments of, what the hell am I doing? I'm masturbating at a kitchen table. What has happened to me?
That's hot in and of itself.
And it's now, but at the time I didn't know, I did not understand. And it was a confluence of all of these things happening at once. And I started, because I was writing, and the way I think is through writing. I just sort of, whatever's in my head, I put it out on a screen through my fingertips. And then I go, oh, that's what I'm thinking about. Okay. And I work through things that way. And I finally started drawing the connection that the person in all of these scenarios I was wanting to be was never the one in charge. It was always the submissive, the bottom, the person with no power. I always wanted to be them. And thankfully, I found some pretty good DS blogs at this point that I could start reading and going, oh, this is what submission means. Now, I was only getting their definition, but it was, that definition was speaking to me and on a deep level, and I could connect with it. And so to me, that's what submission was for a long time until I finally experienced it for myself. I still have, I mean, my sex blog is, we're in 2019. We're going into 7 years almost. This April will be 7 years.
Wow.
And I have all my old blog posts there. I went from a WordPress.com site to self-hosted. It's all at KaylaLords.com now. But I went back and I found the post where I say, I am submissive. And it wasn't that far into my blogging sort of
really
whatever. But what was happening prior to that moment, I was sharing fantasies and a sort of, I would call them dreams, but they're usually daydreams. They're erotic fantasies out of my head. And I was dreaming about submission like it was happening to somebody else. Like I wasn't even ready to claim it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have a post that predates the I am submissive one with, in my dreams, I'm submissive. Because I wasn't even ready to consciously acknowledge it yet.
Gotcha.
Because I didn't understand what it meant about me and what it was and how I could have it. I was a single mom, newly divorced, kind of miserable because life is, as much as you might want to get away from a partner, those early split days when you're finally on your own are so chaotic. You go, can I survive this? I don't know. And that's where I was. So to wrap my mind around the fact that, oh, in a couple years time, you're going to be in a happy DS relationship as a 24/7 submissive like that was the outside of my realm of possibilities. But It was as I explored my sexuality from a sense of my own self-pleasure and my own body. And I started finally letting myself sort of walk, I say walk, but online, kind of go down these trails of, oh, that turns me on. Oh, that turns me on. Instead of what had happened for years prior was I'd go, oh, that turns me on. Ah, and I would back away from it. I'd shut it down. Probably 6 months before my split with my ex, I'd started reading erotica, like not online. I had like actual books you buy at the bookstore. I still have those books. And they were my foreplay. Like he would want to have sex. I should have known something was wrong. I go, let me read a couple chapters and then you can come into the bedroom. Do not watch me while I read that. I don't like that. Like that's true story. And so it was already happening, but it was a sexual awakening that I had no clue was had anything to do with BDSM. I had not a clue. I just knew I always identified with people who gave up control or where the partner took something or not forced, not coerced, yeah, but sort of they dominated them.
Mm-hmm.
But it all kind of came together as I allowed myself to explore instead of thinking about why something turned me on. I think some of us get very caught up in the, well, why does this turn me on? I made myself stop thinking about that and just went down those paths of this turns me on. What about this turns me on? And then things started clicking. But it was sort of the, pardon the cliche, y'all, perfect storm of sex and erotica and BDSM and sex blogs. And it's, you know, it's part of why I'm still so deeply invested as a sex blogger, because I would not be the Kayla Lords y'all know today if I hadn't gone, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to masturbate. I'm going to find out if I can orgasm. And then I'm going to write a blog post about it. Like, who does that? I do that. And now I write about all kinds of stuff, but that's where it started. And if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't done things prior to that, but if I hadn't taken that step,
we might not have met.
I met you through my blog. Right. I met my first dominant through my blog. For a long time, I didn't know how to meet people outside of a blog. Like, I was like, I'm sorry, do you have a blog where I can go read and comment and get to know you? Because what's this conversation thing you speak of? I need to read your innermost thoughts on your blog. That's how I get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
But that for me is where it all began. And
your humble beginnings.
Very humble beginnings. Like, oh, that's my clit. Okay. And it was away we go. Okay. Last question.
All right.
How did you come to realize that prior relationships or ways of sort of being and existing were not adequate and that you needed something more?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Heavy question.
It is a heavy question.
For me, it came to the point that as I began assimilating more of what there was to learn about the lifestyle, it became a force with me that I desired.
Mm.
And the more I wanted it, the further it was out of reach.
Mm.
The other factor to that was I still had not mentally gotten past the stigma that this is not normal.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, so I had a couple things going on. Now, I was in a vanilla relationship, and my partner at that time made it very clear they wanted nothing to do with the lifestyle. It was disgusting.
Yes, well, I have opinions.
I know. But anyway, what happened with me at that point was, okay, well, you know, I'm not sure if these feelings are right. They're technically not normal. It goes against, you know, mainstream of what we're supposed to be. And I just kind of buried everything. What happened at that point with me was that I started spiraling into depression. Mm. And I kept looking for more outlets online to delve into it. Eventually, I came to a point where I knew I had to make a choice. Do I live like this, denying who I am, or do I make a change and take a leap of faith and embrace this?
I'm so glad you took that leap of faith.
Yeah.
And look where you are now. See?
Who'd have thunk?
Well, now, knowing what I know now, if anybody else wants to say something like that to me, I'm going to be like, I'm going to need you to go talk to John Brownstone because he's a perfect example. Yeah. And it doesn't always work out. We're going to talk about this in next week's topic because we already have next week's topic. I feel so grown up. We'll talk about that in more detail about why that's important and all of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It won't always work out the way you think it will, even the first time. But that leap of faith is so important.
Yeah. And, you know, it was the one of the most scariest things I ever did.
Mm, yeah.
Very uncertain about it because, you know, you're literally delving into something that goes against the grain of society, so to speak.
Right. Pretty much everything most of us have ever been taught
right.
says the exact opposite. Yeah.
And, you know, let's face it. You could very easily fall flat on your face.
Oh, sure, because it's not going to work out perfect the first time just because you're like, I'm going to go do this thing.
Yet what ended up happening, at least for me, was that once I did that, I was just amazed at how I opened. I felt like I was finally embracing who I was meant to be.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important part.
Yeah.
And my story is actually the opposite. My answer, I should say. Uh-huh. Pretty much the opposite. Even though I have the same exact outcome that you had.
Fascinating.
I know. See, this is what's so cool. We all have our own ways and paths that we discover.
Get to where we... Yeah.
Exactly. So, for me, I don't think truly I could have allowed myself to explore my sexual desires, explore BDSM, masturbate, have a sex blog, all those things without the divorce. My ex-husband and I were so incompatible. Quite frankly, I look back on it and I think, I wonder, even if he is not, because I will not ask, I have no clue if he has any interest in BDSM. We certainly never had kinky sex, ever, ever, ever. but you know how, as you... Y'all know, we've called this kink dar before. Like, you look at a person and go, oh, yeah, they would be this, they would be that. They might not be, but you still, you pass judgment. I look back on him and I think, if he were ever anything kinky, submissive, total submissive, needs somebody to tell him what to do. So we were incompatible from the beginning. But by the time I got to a point where I was mentally ready to even explore, it had to be without him. It had to be that part of my life over because... There was so much toxicity there, and I didn't have the bandwidth in that relationship to go, what about my needs? I mean, if I could have found it, who knows what might have happened, but that was the way of it. So I know that I had to go through the divorce. What that means, though, or meant, was that as I was exploring this, I was not in a relationship. I was worried about, you know, my job finding out, like my mom finding out, all those sort of, you know, more typical vanilla life worries that mm-hmm. when you go online and you have a persona that's kinky, you do worry about. And so I worried about that, but I wasn't trying to navigate a relationship. I wasn't trying to tell anybody anything. I was exploring for myself. And so the moment I finally said to myself, self, you are submissive. This is who you are, whatever that might mean. And I, like I said before, I had an idea of what that meant and wrong, but this is who you are. For me, it was as if the final puzzle piece of who I was clicked into place.
Huh.
Everything okay. about me up to that point made sense. Everything. I could look on, we've talked about this in past episodes. I could look on past jobs. I could look at past relationships. I could look at how I interacted with people in authority over me. Every bit of it was submissive because of my type of submission and how I like to serve people and how I, you know, interact with certain people. And it was such a relief to understand why. Because at that point, I was on a journey of understanding myself. So I was open for that. I was ready for that kind of discovery, whatever it might have meant.
Okay.
So there was no resistance in me. There was, I have an answer. The angels are now singing. The heavens have opened. Life is good. And from that moment, so there was the previous marriage, not a good marriage. Then there were the flings and the hookups and the things I was kind of doing in the middle. I made the personal decision while we were going through the divorce. I wasn't going to worry about dating or fucking or anything like that. I was just like, let me just get through this damn divorce. But the moment those divorce papers came in the mail, I was like, okay, this shit's pent up. I'm going to go have some fucking sex. And I still wasn't even exploring my sexuality. I just wanted to have sex, which probably should have told me something. I don't know. But those people were the sort of in-between people in my life. I did not always realize it at the time. I thought I had strong feelings for some of them. But they were the passers-by in that in-between group. So when I figured this submission shit out, I was single. And I was just taking care of me at that point. Mm. And I was able to make the decision and made it and have stuck with it. That I would not seek out a partner or attach myself to somebody who was not dominant. They didn't have to be a perfect dominant. They didn't have to be an experienced dominant, but they had to understand enough about I hope so. They had to understand enough about BDSM to at least say, I identify as dominant, and here's what that means to me. That was a requirement from that point forward. Part of it is because of how I'm wired. I had already in my first marriage had to take control of our entire sexual experience as a submissive, asexual submissive. That was like the most painful thing I could have done. That was awful. That was torture. I just didn't know it at the time. And so I was definitely not going to do that. And I knew I had so much to learn at that point about BDSM. I was not going to try and teach a vanilla person who then wanted to be with me, because I know me, I would then be taking control. Like, it was just, I said, no, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm not saying that's the right answer for everybody, but it was like the last thing I needed to understand about myself locking into place. And I accepted it. I did not have the angst. I had the angst about what it might mean as a feminist. Absolutely a proud feminist. Thank you very much. I wondered what that meant. Can you be submissive, a submissive woman, and be a feminist? Yes. The answer is yes. I worried about what it might mean for my children. Like, I worried about those normal things, but it was never a what does this say about me kind of conflict. It was, how am I going to make this work with everything else I know to be true about my life? Because it was who I was. And at that point, because of where I was in my sexual journey, I was not going to deny it. I might not go admit it publicly in my vanilla life, still don't, but I was going to go down this path and this road and whatever that meant. And it was what it was. The hardest thing I had accepting was that I'm a baby girl.
Yeah.
That was the hardest thing I had accepting. That took for fucking ever. Partly because I had some really bad preconceived notions of what that might mean. And partly because my baby girl side, which I'm much more comfortable with now. Y'all have probably figured that out. It's a very vulnerable side of myself. It's a side of myself that I hid for 30 plus years. Like, even as a kid, there was not room for being playful and silly. I was raised in a very sort of serious household. And, you know, don't laugh too loud. Well, that just taught me not to laugh at all. You know, people don't want to hear my laugh, or don't show your emotions. And I am that person. And this is not what makes me a baby girl, but it is a trait that people have, that strong negative emotions bring out tears. I can be pissed off. I can be ready to cuss you the fuck out. I'm going to cry first every time. Oh. I'm going to cry first. It's very rare that I get mad and there aren't tears. Well, I was taught as a kid, you don't cry, or I'll give you something to cry about. So to be able to show these sort of softer parts of myself as a baby girl, where I was clearly identifying more and more with that was a very difficult thing. And that was the thing that was the hardest. Being submissive, oh no, like, yeah, bitch, I'm submissive. We got this. Yeah. Baby girl, I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. Like, it was, and now anybody who knows me and understands what that means on the sort of the little spectrum is probably like, yeah, you're a fucking baby girl. We can all see it. We could see that from the moon looking down on planet Earth.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, so I guess, but we're going to talk more about this last question, because we've got another topic suggestion for next week from Patreon. We're going to go in more depth about that denial of who you are and how that can affect you next week. So those were all the questions. I'm going to do a quick thing before we go into our bonus section. I do want to take a moment. We'll probably cut this out of the audio of the podcast. Okay. I do want to go in and say hello to everybody who is commenting on the live stream. So Round the Cauldron, sorry you couldn't be here for the whole time, but however long you were here, hello. Buttercup. Heather, hi.
Hi, Heather. Buttercup Faith.
I like that. Yep. CDC is here.
Ah.
Yay. Heather says, I could get behind some mwahaha playtime, yes. You know, I act like I'm cringy about get evil, but really I like it when he gets evil. I like, he gets a gleam in his little evil eye, and I'm I'm here for that.
It's fun when you can, you know, when it's planned.
You can play and it's playful. Yeah. Yes. And Dawn, we love you too, and you're welcome. And somebody, Round the Cauldron said, love the shirts. These are from Kinky Cloth. And if you go to Kinky Cloth and you use the code Kinky Kayla, you save 25%. Yeah. We love these shirts. I have several of them now. And also, I've gotten in, I think having t-shirts that speak to y'all is going to be our thing now. So we just wanted to say hi. And because I always feel bad because I can't talk, because we're recording the podcast while we're doing the live stream. And I can't look down and answer a comment and keep my train of thought. Did you turn the autofocus on the...
Oh, dear. Oops. No, I didn't.
If we've been blurring in and out, we're sorry. This is not a right now project, but on our list of all the things we need to do, I would like a new camera.
Eventually a decent camera.
Then we'll work on that. So hello to everybody. But yeah, I can't talk about the topic. But I feel bad, like I'm ignoring y'all in the comments, and I don't like that. So it's almost like it's a live stream bonus that we stopped to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that. Okay, so we are good with the topic. Thank you, CDC. Thank you all of our kinky patrons on Patreon for all of this and for next week too. And so bonus section, yes?
Yeah.
So we have to do our thing that we do because we're cute.
That's right.
Not on purpose, but we are.
Yeah, we are what we are.
It's our superpower.
Own up to it.
Yes, just own it. Just embrace it.
So are we good?
As good as we're probably ever going to get.
All right, well.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. And now we're in the bonus section. Can I talk to the crickets on the bonus section? Can I talk to the crickets? Please.
What if I want to talk to the crickets?
Well, you can do that too. I don't have anything to say.
I've been running into crickets in all kinds of places
you
lately.
You have. I think you're going to meet a cricket.
Great. And I very possibly tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Good possibility.
I know.
I'm just very glad.
We don't have any mail, but we have a story to tell y'all.
I'm just happy that we're having a show this week.
We almost didn't.
Okay. It was looking kind of iffy for a while there.
Yeah, it was.
I had, towards the end of last week, some of you who follow us on social media, on Instagram and Twitter, saw the picture of me with an eye patch.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't for role play.
I'm not into role play, y'all. If you've read the blog, you know I don't like that shit.
Wasn't really quite sure at first how it happened. Y'all know I do the woodwork. I do wood turning. And apparently what happened, a chip of wood...
maybe just a little piece of sawdust. Who the hell knows?
It could have been anything. Flew up under my face mask, under my glasses. It was the perfect storm. And it must have caught my eye. Now understand, when I'm turning a piece of wood on the lathe, it's spinning up to anywhere from 1,500 RPMs to 2,000 RPMs. So whatever comes off of that lathe
it's flying.
Is flying. So apparently this thing hit me. I probably just, you know, did that and moved on. Well, the next day, my eye started getting puffy.
Yeah.
And I have seasonal allergies. Some of you probably saw me earlier, you know, itching my nose. It's that getting to be that time of the year. So I thought it was part of my allergies, and I started taking some allergy meds. Well, what happened? The eye started getting worse, and it started hurting.
Mm-hmm. And tearing up really bad.
And tearing up really, really bad. So this was on Friday, went into Saturday, Sunday, and it just kept getting worse and worse. It looked like I had been punched in the eye without the black and blue.
Yeah, he would wake up and he couldn't open his eye, and it was right. Just puffy all the way down his face into the side of his nose. Yeah. Like he was just swollen.
Mm-hmm. So Monday, was Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Decided I need to go see a doctor because it just kept getting...
Right, and we were using antihistamines and all the allergy stuff, and it didn't look like pink eye. We have seen pink eye.
Right,
right. It did not look like pink eye.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. Even got eye drops for allergies, mm-hmm. thinking that that would do the trick. It didn't do it. It didn't phase it.
No.
So off to see the doctor.
Gosh.
And apparently what had happened was... Like I said in the beginning, something must have hit my eyeball just right, scratched my eye, and caused it a good bit of irritation.
And so it swelled up. So you got a steroid, right?
She put me on a steroid.
And so we thought, okay, this will fix it and we'll be fine. Well, the swelling started going down.
Yes.
And then you started feeling the pain.
Right.
And we're like, oh my God, what has happened to his eye?
Right.
And it was what, the next day?
It was by the next day it started easing off and feeling better.
It looked like I had punched him, y'all. It really did look like I had punched him. I was like, I don't... So we go to the doctor, and as we're walking out, I don't ever think about where I am when I say shit. I really don't. We're walking out of the doctor's office. There are other patients, and I'm like, yeah, it looks like I've been beating him up. And so she jokes with us and goes, oh, are you worried about elder abuse? Elder abuse.
I know, right?
This was after she referred to me as the boss.
Yeah.
So I tweeted about this, but I just want to put this out there for the record. I had the insurance card. I had his medications to show what he had been taking.
Yep.
I had the copay. That does not make me in charge of anything.
That made you the good submissive for having everything in line, so I didn't have to worry about any of it.
I was being the Girl Friday left-hand, right-hand person. Like, I was taking care of shit, because that's called submission and service. He is still in charge. Could you fix his eye and stop calling me the boss? I didn't say all that. I just smiled. We actually shared a look. We're like, only fucking knew. And that's usually, that is a good tell when you're dealing with somebody who's vanilla. And because, you know, we talk about kinked are like, you're like, oh, are they kinky? And you can't always tell. When somebody says something that is like so obvious that they are basing the fact that I have the knowledge and they're saying that means I must be in charge. I'm like, yes, kinky is not part of your vocabulary, at least at this point in your life. Okay, and so then I just always smile. Now, if I think we're dealing with kink, I might, like, we got to slip out some code there. ages ago. I don't even remember it anymore. We had, y'all, we talked about this on a very early episode about a code about our shoelaces, I think. Like, we came up with a code that we could find each other. I really think we need to do that because you told the story, the rope workshop you're going to on Friday. The first one, was it the first one?
The very first one I went to.
You met somebody that you knew in the vanilla life at the rope workshop.
Correct.
And conversations you had come home and told me about in the vanilla setting they knew each other, I had been saying, did you slip in like a thing about, you know, because I think my kink door was going off and I hadn't met these people yet. Like, there's just got to be a signal. I mean, we just need a signal to find each other. That's all I'm saying. Because then it makes things a lot easier. Because if I had thought for even half a second that that doctor was kinky, I would have said something different than just smiling to myself and going, let me put all these things back in my purse.
Well, she had said, you know, something like, you do a good job taking care of him.
Yeah. Then I'd have been like, thank you. That's kind of my jam. I don't know what I would have said. I didn't get the opportunity.
Nope.
But no, it was still, that was our big thing. Like he was on Monday going, if this doesn't go down, there's no episode this week because I'm not getting on camera. And I'm like, I'm not going to ask you to record a show.
It was bad. It was like I had another cheek.
Yeah. And he was sleeping a lot and just, I'm so glad you're back normal. There's a little bit of redness
still. There's still a little bit of redness, but it's way,
Better.
God.
So that was our excitement this week.
The eye patch was mainly because I have a hard time when my eye was itching and bothering me, have a very hard time not touching it.
Right. And you talked about wanting to sort of let it rest and rather just sort of keep it closed and not focus on anything.
Exactly. That way. And it worked. It within a couple of days after that, I'm pretty much back to normal.
Yeah. You've been in the shop now the past couple days.
Today I actually... Yesterday I was just out there puttering, per se, you know, cleaning and doing some prep work. Today I actually went out there and dove into some wood.
Mm-hmm. He tells me, I'm going to play with my wood. I'm like, lucky bastard. I'd like to play with your wood. That's a whole different conversation, though.
That's true.
So you've got a rope workshop to go to on Friday. Now that you're better, because there was a question about whether
I was going to be able to make it to that too.
And then we are so because his eye was all swollen and we still not finished painting our kitchen.
No,
it's like the saga that won't end in the bonus section. Is the kitchen painted yet or not? Not, but we're supposed to finish it this weekend.
Yes,
and in a couple weeks we'll go back to the club for a morning play session.
Morning play party, yep.
And then, this is what is awesome, after that we will go meet with a kinky tax person.
Yep.
We thought we had found a kinky tax person. They ghosted on us, which is weird. We found another kinky tax person. We're going to go have a meeting and find out, is this going to be our kinky tax person?
Yes.
So I'm looking forward
to that. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. So, that's it for us this week.
That's kind of it, yeah.
Yeah. Got our coffee, as always. Yeah. Just trucking along.
Can't be without coffee. Coffee is my love language.
I know it is. I know. That and... Oh, I can't remember which other love languages are anymore. I'm sorry. I'm an awful, awful human being. I'm so sorry.
Touch.
I was just touching you.
Yes.
I don't remember what mine are. I'll have to go back to the blog post where we talked about that. I don't remember.
Yours is touch.
Mine's kind of touch, but mine's like most of them, actually. Like several.
And then
things.
It's, oh gosh, I can't think. It's followed by affirmation.
Yeah, but there's more in there. I'm sure there's more in there. I like lots of things.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
You're a baby girl. You like whatever catches your eye at the moment.
Yeah. Kind of wish I could live in the baby girl headspace. She has a lot more fucking fun. Because what'll happen is baby girl side will go, ooh, bright, shiny, I would like that. And then the side who, you know, is responsible for bills will be like, oh, I don't think we can do that. No, baby girl side is much more fun.
Yes.
Okay, that is it for us
this
week. Next week, for those of you watching on YouTube, we will remember to fix the focus on the camera.
Yeah.
We are so sorry, y'all. Oh, my God. So sorry. Yeah, the new goal after all the other goals we have.
And see, I feel bad. Last week I checked it.
And
it was set fine, so I didn't. So this week I didn't check, and the setting slipped.
So, I'm sorry. Okay. We're going to go.
Yep.
We love you guys.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.